Hola, Locamores. Diosa here from Locatora Radio.
Y Mala to talk classic telenovela tropes. More like our bedtime stories growing up, no?
Sí, those dramatic switched at birth dramas or evil stepmoms hiding the fact that you're really the boss storylines still bring the gasps.
Like Fabuloso brings the passion to cleaning with 2x concentrated formula to take the drama out of any mess.
I don't know about you, but when I smell Fabuloso's remarkable lavender scent in my casa, I know it's all going to be happily ever after.
Fabuloso's 2x concentrated formula provides 2x more active ingredients versus non-concentrated Fabuloso Original. Use as directed.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful show in store for you. I have an amazing guest that I'm really looking forward to having a wonderful conversation with. But first, of course, we have my blog post from a couple of years ago, just taking them in order and seeing how they align with our show each week. And so today's blog post is entitled, Myths Are Powerful Metaphors to inspire us to live a better life. We all love stories, ancient stories, modern stories, and everything in between. Some of these stories are more profound, so they turn into myths. And myths turn a story into something very special. Myths touch upon something very deep and fundamental to our nature. They capture the essence of what it means to be human, and they raise our awareness and our consciousness of how to live a better life. There is something very archetypal about myths, yet they are not to be taken literally. Unfortunately, there are many myths in the world that are taken too literally. When that happens, we hold on to the allegory or the metaphor tightly. We believe they are true and real. When they are meant to be an indication of something, not the thing itself. This is what happened in religion. A powerful myth around how to grow spiritually has been codified and turned into a history. When in fact, the stories were meant to inspire and inform our own spiritual journey. They were not meant to limit us or raise us above anyone else. These stories are archetypal stories of how to transform our own consciousness into something greater, something grander, something more heroic. The myth is a map, not the territory. It is something to stir up our soul and call us to be the greater person we dream of being. Myths are powerful symbols and characters to inform us and teach us, to teach us how to be better people, how to deal with challenges, and how to rise above the confusion of life. The same way a modern movie can be a myth for modern times, yet they are not something to be taken as reality. So too, the myths of ancient times are not to be taken as a literal story of actual events. They are so much greater than that. To take a myth as a literal story does a great disservice to the myth and to ourselves. So is there a myth that inspires you in your own life? Can you learn from myths old and new? So I wrote this post a couple of years ago, It was after a session with my mentor, Armand. And he talked about how the myth is not the, is the map, not the territory. And that kind of inspired me, inspired this blog post, because I find so often that we tend to take these very powerful stories, the sometimes these origin stories of where ideas come from, and take them so literally. And you know, I say they're not real stories, but perhaps they are. Maybe there is a real story behind these myths that inspire us so and take us to a deeper place in ourselves. But it's almost that the real story behind the myth isn't really that important. Not as important to compared to what the myth is trying to teach us, as to the lessons of how we can transform ourselves, how what it is like for us to go on our own personal spiritual journey, the challenges, the tragedies, the triumphs. One of the most popular myths that's used over and over again that Joseph Campbell really made aware to people is the hero's journey. And these days I see many takes on the hero's journey. And in some ways, it's gone from an individual hero's journey to a collective hero's journey, or a team, a group of heroes, their journey. And when we feel lost, and when we feel like we're not sure where to go next and what to do, these myths, these archetypal stories, these tales that are infused with so much energy can give us a roadmap, can give us guidance, even in modern times. Even when we feel that, oh, these ancient myths, they're so old, they have no relevancy to today. No, the reason why they've endured and they've survived over the centuries is because they are timeless, because they are relevant regardless to what we're going through in any given era. So it does not matter how quote-unquote advanced we are technologically, how advanced we are as a civilization, these myths, these stories that inform our souls, they're quite powerful indeed. This is not to say they don't evolve, and this is not to say that we don't find new ways of applying them to our current life. But it's just to bring to awareness and to honor these ancient stories and how they play out in our own life. And this is why astrology is such a powerful tool. We used to have a gentleman who has since unfortunately passed, Monty Taylor, who did a show with us, Living Consciously. It was all about the myths and the archetypes behind astrology and looking at astrology and how these stories play out in our lives. And it's really a very rich show. And one of my favorite show of the old shows on the network, so I highly recommend it. So we're in the middle of a great transition right now. Maybe there's some myths, maybe there's some legends, maybe there's some stories out there that can support us and guide us through this time of great transition, whether we're struggling with it or not. about how to be present to what our reality is today. So take a look. What are your favorite myths? What inspires you? And what can continue to inspire you throughout this time? Hope that helps. I hope you liked it. That's my blog for this week. It's Myths Are Powerful Metaphors to Inspire Us to Live a Better Life. Of course, you can always find my blog post on my personally branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com, and on the talk radio website, talkradio.nyc/blog. And now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show educator, author, and leader in psychedelic wellness, Matt Zeman. Matt is the author of two best-selling books, Psychedelics for Everyone, A Beginner's Guide to These Powerful Medicines for Anxiety, Depression, Addiction, PTSD, and Expanded Consciousness, and Beyond the Trip, A Journal for Psychedelic Preparation and Integration. Matt holds a master's degree from King's College London and specializes in the impact of psychedelics on mental health, focusing on their potential to catalyze profound personal transformations. His latest book, The Veteran's Guide to Psychedelics, was developed in collaboration with the Heroic Hearts Project. This workbook unlocks the transformative power of psychedelics with guidance tailored specifically for veterans. Bridging ancient healing traditions with the latest preparation and integration practices, it offers a comprehensive path towards peace, understanding, and lasting change. Designed to support veterans in overcoming challenges such as PTSD, anxiety, or depression, it features expert insights and practical exercises and a holistic approach for healing and growth. And I just want to point out that all proceeds from the book are donated to the Heroic Hearts Project, a wonderful nonprofit. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Sam, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful to have you. I've been really looking forward to this. I always like to start off my interviews kind of asking the background questions to give my audience just a little bit of an idea of who you are as a person. So let's just start with, like, what is it about psychedelics and healing that sort of attracted you to this aspect of it? Because there's so many different modalities, so many different paths towards healing. What was it about psychedelics that really attracted you, that it really called you to make this a staple in what you do?
That's a funny question, because I really fell into this by accident, Sam. I had some friends invited me to a guided magic mushroom experience. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that kind of thing. I was a father and a husband and a business owner, and that wasn't in my wheelhouse, but something inside of me said yes. And that first experience completely changed the way I look at the world. I felt completely connected to everything. I felt unconditionally loved. I reconnected with my mom, who had died when I was 22 and she was 49, in that first experience. And I knew I left it. I was like, what the hell was this? And I knew I wanted to learn more. And I went back to school. I got a master's in psychology and neuroscience, focused on psychedelic medicine. And I traveled the world and I tried different psychedelics with shaman and maestros and taitas and MDs and PhDs. And trying to learn as much as possible. I'm now in a doctorate of ministry program. And this is such a radical shift in my life since that first experience. And I can't imagine not having done this.
I'm curious, as you said, you're a father, you were a husband, a business owner. After you had that experience and you started to make all these shifts in your life, your family, your friends must have been, Matt, what the hell's going on with you?
You know what? It just fell into place. I formed better relationships with my children and my wife. I have more time for friends. I used to just work all the time. And now I spend quite a lot of time community building. So I think it fell into place. And they say there's definitely something different, but it's not at all in a negative way.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful. And how long ago was that first experience for you?
About 6 years now.
About 6 years. Wow. So actually not all that long.
No, not relative to the indigenous wisdom keepers who've been holding this for thousands of years. No, not that long at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the trick about this space is that all of us are new into this space.
Yes. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've sat with the tribes. I've sat with the Huniquun tribe down in Peru last year. And, you know, I've met people who've studied with many of the indigenous elders. And it's so fascinating. And we do have this very short-sighted view sometimes of these healing practices, and we think this is new and amazing because LSD was first discovered in 1944, the same year that the atomic bomb was dropped. But actually, these practices and these medicines have been around for thousands and thousands of years, haven't they?
They really have. I mean, we have cave paintings, we have lots of art and archaeology from certainly 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 BC. And everywhere in the world. And that's, I think, something I did not know going into this. I had always thought that psychedelics were kind of Central and South American, Mexican. I didn't realize that we had mushroom shaman in Africa, that we had Iboga over there, that we had witches burned all across Europe, that we had mushroom shaman in Siberia. Yeah. I didn't realize that we all have a psychedelic lineage.
Yeah. And I just remember hearing not that long ago that they found traces of ergo, the mold that LSD is derived from, in vessels in some ancient Greek temples or something that were, you know, thousands of years old. So it's definitely been around.
Absolutely. Yeah. That particular study you're talking about is there are a couple different theories of the origins of Christianity. And one of them is that the early Christians took the wisdom from the mysteries of the Eleusinian mysteries in Greece that had happened for 2,000 years. I mean, these ceremonies lasted 2,000 years. And they took them into underground caves, and it became kind of the initial communion for Christianity is the thesis. Carl Ruck up in Boston, The Immortality Key is kind of a fun book if you want to explore that. And so are the Psychedelic Gospels is another good fun book to explore those theories.
Yeah. Again, the idea that there's this myth that we hold on to so literally, and maybe it's a little more allegorical than we'd like to give credit for. All right, we got to take our first break. When we come back, let's dive into why you became an author and started to write about this and what that path has been like. And then we'll eventually get around to your most recent book, specifically for veterans, and why that's such an important topic. Okay?
That sounds like a plan.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with our guest, Matt Zaman, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
If you don't have your health, what do you really have? It's time to feel good in your body and shift from struggle to ease. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul, where we explore the sacred wisdom of your body while you sit back, relax, and go on a journey of self-discovery. Join me every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to awaken your heart, transform your well-being, and unlock a deeper understanding of yourself.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with author Matt Zaman, author of the book Psychedelics for Everyone, Beyond the Trip, and A Veteran's Guide to Psychedelics. So Matt, you had this powerful experience. You went and you started to study all about it. It really affected your life. It changed, how you showed up in the world. Why did you just start to write about this? Why did you decide that, especially your first book, Psychedelics for Everyone, like what inspired that? And what made you feel like this was a message that you needed to get out there in the world?
So I got frustrated, Sam. A lot of the literature out there is either too scientific and I couldn't understand it or read it, or it was too woo-woo. And I felt like we needed something in between. I also felt I really wasn't qualified to write about it. So what I did in the first book is I wrote a few personal stories of how psychedelics have impacted me. But then I hired really amazing writers to create each of the different sections, because we talk about a number of different psychedelics. And then I hired medical people to review the chapters. So I had kind of a two-step process for thing to make sure that while it was accessible and in kind of common language, it was accurate. So that's what Psychedelics for Everyone was. The Beyond the Trip came out of just doing more and more of this work and wanting a process. How do I prepare and set my intentions? Then when I have my journeys, how do I quickly document my notes in some kind of structured format, and then following it, that 30 days of neuroplasticity, how do I kind of do an exercise each week and then maybe a gratitude journal every day for those 30 days to help retrain my mind for the positive? So that's what that book was about. It was really a hands-on workbook for people to use for preparation and integration. And then the Veteran's Guide was my first attempt to how do I help enable veterans to make an informed decision on whether they want to use psychedelics or not? So at this point in my life, I felt like I was more than competent to write that, but I also wanted help. So I worked with a guy named Ken Weingard, who is 20 years with the VA. And I worked with Jared Reinhardt, who is the integration specialist for Heroic Hearts Project, to make sure we got the language right, that it was accessible, that we put in things like checklists and things that would be bigger fonts, things that are important to people who have PTSD or traumatic brain injury. And then added some more exercises. And then we have coming out soon a coaching therapist edition that a coach and therapist can use alongside of their veteran participants for, again, informed consent, preparation, journey notes, integration.
Wow. Wonderful. Well, I love the fact that you created Beyond the Trip specifically focusing on preparation and integration, because while there is a lot of talk around psychedelics these days, and there's a lot of talk pro and con and everything going on, but it's definitely more in the public eye than ever before. But you don't hear quite as much about, how do you prepare properly? How do you choose a guide properly? What do you do afterwards? The integration aspect. And in speaking with people who I feel are very not so much professional, but very serious about this work and really well-informed, well-trained, they all say, like, integration is the key, right? Because you go and you have this extreme experience and it's great and can be life transformative, but unless you're applying it to your day-to-day life, it's not really doing you that much good, is it?
That's certainly what I believe. I mean, I think there are ways, there are three main ways that people access psychedelics in America. Some want a medical model. They want to be greeted by a person in a white coat. They want a diagnosis, and they want to take a psychedelic in relation to a treatment plan. And I think that's beautiful and that's important. That's, and we have legal ketamine in all 50 states, and the Oregon and Colorado have their access points. So I think that's important. Others take more of a decriminalization approach. They say no adult should tell another adult that they can't put nature in their body.
Right.
Okay. And that can be recreational. It can be an access issue. So people who can't afford the medical model can still have access. Okay. I think that's important. And then we have the ceremonial use, which is really historically how it's been used. And in ceremony, there is typically some type of preparation for the ceremony. So in, in ayahuasca, which you referenced earlier, it's this whole dieta that takes a few weeks or longer where you're preparing your body and your mind and your spirit for what's about to happen. Then there's the ceremony. And then there is, historically, there's integration back into the community in our society, because we are so isolated and we don't have community built into our everyday lives.
Right.
We kind of need to force it with activities and with either working with a therapist or a coach or a spiritual community. But there, so there's multiple ways to do integration. But if the intention of the person taking the psychedelic is real, meaningful, lasting change, the work starts well before the psychedelic is ingested, and it continues for the rest of your life.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I've heard many people say that the journey actually begins the moment you commit to going to the journey, not when you actually show up for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good statement.
Yeah. Yeah. So, when you came out with Psychedelics for Everyone, I mean, that's a pretty bold statement, meaning like anybody can take this stuff, anybody can use this stuff. Or do you really believe this is for everyone?
So what I meant by the title is that they're good for society, but I certainly don't mean that everyone should take a psychedelic. There are definitely people who have existing pre-existing conditions.
Right.
There are people who are taking various medications or supplements. I am not a medical doctor, so if this is something you're considering, I strongly recommend you talk to a healthcare professional or go to spiritpharmacist.com and talk with Ben Malcolm and
get
do an intake there. But no, psychedelics aren't for everyone to take. And I also like talking about how I never use the word safe when it comes to psychedelics. I use risk reduced. So what I introduce, I'd like to talk about is this concept of relative risk. So we can say, okay, let's look at this, Dr. Nutt study from Imperial College of London, where he said, what's the harm to self and harm to others? And alcohol is the most dangerous as a 72. And you go all the way down his chart and you get to psilocybin, which is a 6. Okay, great. Way less dangerous. And a lot of harm can happen in that 6. It's just less likely to happen. We talk about acetaminophen in this country. So that's an active ingredient in over-the-counter painkillers. 458 people a year die from acetaminophen.
Really?
So when it comes to psychedelics, there are risks. There are people who have, and those risks can be mitigated, but there are risks, and people should know that going in and then make the informed decision that's right for them. And we can certainly talk about how to mitigate risks if you would like, or wherever else you want to go.
Well, I'd be curious about, you know, a lot of people being attracted to it. What do you think is an appropriate reason for someone to decide to engage with psychedelics?
So appropriate, so tricky. And I'm going to use, again, use me as the example.
Okay.
I did it out of curiosity. I did it. Some friends invited me. I really had low expectations. I thought it'd be fun. And then I was served a big dish of medicine and it was phenomenal. So I think the medicine meets people for a variety of reasons. Now, that being said, if you have intentions, okay, I'm curious about this. Okay. Well, then we have the, I want to connect with source or spirit. Great. Mm-hmm. I want to remember who I am and mm-hmm. kind of see the stories that I've layered on myself. That makes sense. I want to find the root of some trauma or depression or anxiety that I'm experiencing. That makes sense. I want to reconnect with my ancestors. That makes sense. I want to figure out how to think through a problem. I mean, lots and lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. And certainly also breaking of repetitive thinking patterns. I am thinking mm-hmm. this way over and over and over, and I don't want to do that anymore. And I want to use this medicine to help me. So the example I give is when we were kids, our minds ran all over the playgrounds. Mm-hmm. And at some point we were put on a treadmill and no one told us. Well, the psychedelic puts our minds back on that playground and we remember that we don't have to think about our lives or our relationships or our jobs the way we've been thinking about them. There's other ways to think about them.
Right.
And I love that breaking of repetitive thinking pattern component of psychedelics.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It definitely changes the way we can look at ourselves, at the world, at others in our life, 100%. Okay, we're going to take our next break. When we come back, let's talk about why you decided to focus on veterans in your most recent book and what you see as the real benefit for veterans in dealing with psychedelics, okay?
Perfect.
Awesome. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back with our guest, Matt Zaman, in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Matt, in your latest book that just came out a couple of months ago, The Veteran's Guide to Psychedelics, you're really focusing on a very target audience. Why did you decide to focus on veterans? And what do you see as being like the real benefits for veterans?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Sam. I mean, right now in America, we have over 17 veterans killing themselves every day. Yeah. And while I think a little bit over 7,000 soldiers have died in active combat since 9/11, more than 30,000 soldiers and veterans have killed themselves in the same time period. It's more than four times the number.
Wow.
Yeah. And we have a population here where the SSRI antidepressants, which is the medicine most often prescribed, just doesn't work on enough people. And science is trying to solve for this, but it's challenging. So there was a phase 3 trial that a lot of us have heard about with MDMA, and they gave people with treatment-resistant post-traumatic stress disorder 3 sessions of MDMA in therapy before and after. And 77% emerged without having a PTSD diagnosis anymore. So just letting that sit in for a moment. I mean, these are, when we talk about treatment resistant, that means none of the pharmacological or talk therapies have worked. And now something has worked. So unfortunately, this wasn't enough information for the FDA. They've requested another trial, but it gives us a direction of where we're headed. And when I think about a population that really needs support, because what's happening now is there are nonprofits like Heroic Hearts Project, the Mission Within, vets who are sending our veterans down to Central and South America and to Oregon where they can legally access psychedelics. So I was trying to give them tools to help them on this process. And really the idea came from Jesse Gould, who is the founder of Heroic Hearts Project. And he reached out and said, "Hey, I saw one of your preparation integration books. Can you do one just for veterans?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course, let's do this." But yeah, that's just a population that really, really benefits from this type of work.
And why don't you speak for a moment just about Heroic Hearts, their mission, and what they're really doing today for veterans?
I love this group. I mean, they are really trying to help veterans with PTSD find peace. And they raise money. They offer full scholarships. So if you get accepted into their program and you can't afford to pay for it, they will send you to Central or South America or to Oregon on their expense. They pay for 3 individual preparation sessions, 3 group sessions, and then they do the same thing on the other side of it. So you get, I think it's 12 sessions of coaching, as well as a week of practice. So when I went down to Peru, we were working with Shipibo healers with the veterans, and we did 3 nights of ayahuasca. And it was beautiful to watch those ceremonies. And it was also beautiful to watch the integration sessions and see how those veterans turn those insights and awakenings and awarenesses into real, meaningful, lasting change.
You know, I've heard the only kind of criticism I've ever heard around using psychedelics to help veterans was, "Oh, what are we doing? Just patching up people's PTSD and then sending them back out to the front?" Because what happens when a veteran who's been suffering, now they have this awakening and they feel better? I've heard that many times they want to rejoin and go back and be with their compatriots.
So a couple of things are coming up as you say that question, Sam. One is I had the privilege to go to Walter Reed a few weeks ago and spend time at their Intrepid Center of Excellence, which is kind of like the Mayo Clinic for PTSD and traumatic brain injury. And such a beautiful facility. I think they spent $75 million and they have, I think, 20 soldiers at a time that are all rotating in and live there for 30 days. And everything they need medically is there. The only sad part I heard about that is that many of those soldiers wait till their 18th or 19th year before raising their hand and asking for help because they don't want to derail their career. So when we talk about active duty soldiers, that's kind of one thing. When you talk about the veterans, these are people who've now come back into civilian life. They're having challenges with being productive members of society. They're having challenges with their family. They're having, in some cases, suicidal ideation. And really experiencing profound depression and anxiety and hopelessness. So unlike Western medicine, where we try to numb the pain or hide the pain with these antidepressants, psychedelics brings that pain close where they can discover it, they can understand it, and then they can transform it. And I say all the time that psychedelics aren't a cure for anything. These are catalysts. And what I mean by that, and I'm going to continue with the veterans and MDMA, is that that doesn't magically change the stories inside the veteran's head. It puts them into a position where they can rewrite their own stories. And that's just so powerful because now it's not, "I've been told to feel this way or do this." It's, "I know what to do because I did it."
Right, right. Now, I've talked with some different facilitators, some who have worked with veterans, and they all say, you know, veterans are a very special category. They're not like everyone else. What do you feel are like the unique needs for veterans, or the unique aspects of working with a veteran with psychedelics compared to just you or me coming off the street saying, oh, I'd love to try a ceremony?
So I think actually the one of the surprising things for me has been how much they are like everybody else. So when we think about the range of human that wants to use psychedelics, some are experiencing mild cases of depression or anxiety, or having an existential crisis, or trying to figure out what the next chapter of their life is like, or figuring out their relationships. Okay, great. That's kind of relatively healthy, normal. And then we have others who are experiencing much more profound levels of depression and anxiety and suicidal ideation. Those are harder populations to work with, regardless of whether they are veterans or not veterans. Veterans sometimes, or maybe more universally, have seen things that we haven't seen. Veterans more universally, not all, have had rougher childhoods, which led them to the military to begin with. And so they have early childhood trauma that then is compounded by trauma within the military.
Right.
So maybe there's some more layers, but all of that can happen in non-veteran populations as well. And then I guess the last thing is veterans are used to the physicality of being in the military. And sometimes they want the harder, stronger experiences, and things like ayahuasca really resonates with them. But I also know Heroic Hearts has been sending people up to Oregon for back-to-back mushroom journeys. And they've been having really powerful experiences with those as well. So I think there's almost a myth to, oh, we need to do ayahuasca when well, you're seeing powerful MDMA in the science side, and we're seeing powerful mushrooms in the spiritual side.
And
I guess the psychedelic treatment center side.
There were a lot of people who were very upset at the FDA's ruling against MDMA this year, and that being like a real setback for moving forward. Do you feel that? And I know a lot of people were focusing on applying MDMA for helping veterans as like a key, because it's really a bipartisan sort of area. It's not one that people are divided on based on what party they are, but maybe it's based on some other things. Are you hopeful that MDMA will eventually be legalized, or MDMA treatment will be legalized for veterans at the very least? Yeah,
I remain optimistic that we haven't really had a change in mental health care in America since the creation of the antidepressant. We need something else. When they work, but when they don't, and we're talking about 50, 60, 70%, depending on which medication, they don't. So we need another option. The results from both MDMA and psilocybin studies are very promising. The FDA has given both breakthrough therapy diagnoses, and and we do have really great numbers. And even if we take many of the things the FDA said, okay, we pull out a couple of these, we add in a few adverse events, the numbers are still phenomenal. Hopefully we'll have both MDMA and psilocybin in the not too distant future, so that all of us can have access to these powerful tools for healing. And by making these legal, truly legal, we bring it above ground. We bring the conversations above ground. We reduce stigma. It changes a lot of things for a lot of people.
Right. Do you feel that they'll always be a place for sort of the underground movement? Because as you mentioned before, to do this in a therapeutic setting can be very expensive because of the cost of having, you know, the model is to have two therapists there. You have to have several hours of preparation, several hours of integration. So you add that all up, and right now insurance is not covering that. You know, that's not really accessible for most people, is it?
It's not accessible at all. So I want to divide underground into kind of two categories. We have our underground kind of therapist coaches working on a one-on-one basis with people they have ongoing relationships with. Okay, that's great. And there's still a cost to that. I still recommend if you can have two people in the room instead of one for safety's sake, it's better. It's still expensive. And then we have kind of group ceremony. So we have somewhere between 500 and 1,000 entheogenic churches in America. They're running...
Whoa. 500 to 1,000?
I think it's every bit that many, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's not an exact number. So let's we have four churches that have religious exemptions from our government.
Right.
And then we have a bunch of us who operate protected by law and statute with the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And but are very quiet for the most part. There with some exceptions. There's some that are out there saying, hey, come to our church. But most are quiet. And those, because in many cases there's volunteer labor components, there's philanthropy components, they're in their group components, they're able to offer psychedelic ceremonies, entheogenic ceremonies at a completely different price point. Now, that being said, there's no medical claims, so there shouldn't be any medical claims. It's religion.
Right.
If people are doing it for medical reasons, that is that they need to be careful because that's not what those groups do, or they need to supplement. So I'll give again the example of the veterans. If they go down to Peru and they work with the Shipibo healers, that's ceremony. And the things they do with their coaches before and after, we could call that medical.
I see. Yeah. I knew about the distinction between the churches and the ones that have the DEA exemption. So I knew that there were only less than a handful that had the DEA exemption, but I hadn't realized that there were that many ethnogenic churches around. And yeah, I think that's an important point to make. We've got to take our last break of the show. When we come back, I'd actually like to touch upon, since we've been talking about churches a bit, the spiritual side of psychedelics a little bit. You know, we hear so much about the mental health and the healing aspects of psychedelics, but there also can be a spiritual practice, which I'd like to focus on for the last segment, okay?
Perfect. Let's do that.
Awesome. Wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we'll be right back to tie it all up with our guest, Matt Zeman.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Matt, we've started talking about the ethnogenic churches, the ceremonial use of psychedelics, not as a quote-unquote healing modality, but as more personal exploration modality. But in the public, you know, in the common conversations, most of the attention is really focused on how psychedelics can help us heal. But for centuries and beyond healing, there's a much deeper relationship with psychedelics that we can develop, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, in the old days, there were just healers, and the healers were both spiritual healers and medical healers.
Right.
And we in our Western society have separated those roles, and we've given pure science to the doctors and death to the clergy.
Yeah.
And the reality is these substances occasion spiritual experiences, whether you want them to or not.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to say then, well, this should belong in the clergy's hands, well, it's fair to argue that they don't have the latest knowledge in my brain and body to keep me safe. Totally fair.
Right.
Conversely, if we give them just to doctors, they don't have any spiritual training whatsoever. So we need a new collaboration. We need a new way of delivering these medicines that involve both medical people and spiritual people. And we need this to become legal so that these can happen without medical providers being worried about their licensure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true whether they're a nurse or a therapist or a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so that spiritual providers aren't worried about insurance and arbitration, right, and all those things that go there. So there's some very practical reasons to bring this above ground. It also changes where these medicines are purchased or grown.
Mm-hmm.
It changes a lot to make it legal, but spiritual use, we go back, pick your culture, thousands of years all throughout the world. This is how they were delivered. They were delivered for personal healing, for connecting with spirit, for reminding us that we are connected to all things, that we are not separate and apart from nature, but that we are nature. They were designed to help us foster stronger community. And all of those things can happen in a spiritual setting. And there are different, every entheogenic church is different. They use different sacraments and they have different beliefs. So you as the consumer need to ask questions. What am I walking into? What do you believe? What are you going to tell me or not tell me? And there's also support groups. Like if you're a Christian in psychedelics, you can go to Ligare, Ligare.com. If you're Jewish in psychedelics, you can go to Shefa. There's lots of different organizations around different traditional wisdom traditions and psychedelics. And then there's a whole bunch of people who are kind of modern churches. But asking those questions, what do you believe? What are you going to tell me? Because we are very susceptible when we're in that non-ordinary state of consciousness.
Yes, yes. And sometimes I find in talking to people, like sometimes people don't really do enough research of who they're going to work with and what the environment's going to be like before they get there. Just hear like, oh, this is the latest craze. This is going to help me see God. And they just try and find somebody and they may or may not have a good experience with them. What would you recommend if someone's interested in having a relationship with these powerful substances? How should they go about researching it? How should they find a guide, a facilitator, a church, a group that they can feel comfortable is going to hold them in a sacred way or in a professional way and like mitigate the risk, as you talked about before, that they're actually going to have the kind of experience they're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, Sam, first is the confession. I was exactly that person. I did not ask enough questions. I just trusted in the process and got lucky.
Yeah.
But I've heard stories of people who don't get as lucky.
Yeah.
So I think a couple things. First, there's three things that I ask everybody to pay attention to. It's source, set, and setting.
Mm.
And then if you think about those things, you can think of the questions around those things. So source is, where did the psychedelics come from?
Mm.
Damage can happen if the psychedelics are laced or contaminated. So asking your provider, where do you get your psychedelics from, is a reasonable question. Set is the mindset. So are you, provider, going to help me set my intentions? Are you going to tell me whatever medicine we're working with, how it might interact with my body so that I'm aware? Are you going to give me support after the session in case I have some kind of psychological trauma, or do I need to find that on my own? Not all providers do the post support, and that's okay, but we need to know. And then setting is, what is the physical environment? What are the rules of engagement? Mm-hmm. What are the, or is there touch? Is there no touch? Is there one person in the room serving medicine? Is there seven people in the room serving medicine? Are there 10 of us or 100 of us taking medicine? So what is that setting? Are we going to be interrupted? How are you keeping me safe when I'm on this medicine? So source, set, and setting. In terms of finding this, every major city, most major cities have some kind of psychedelic society or a decriminalization society chapter. Mm-hmm. Going to those meetings, meeting people, asking questions, what else is happening locally? Who should I meet? Are good ways to figure out what's happening near you. And certainly people can fly. They can fly to, they can hear about a good service happening somewhere and flying in or driving in, sure. Yeah. And ideally, though, if they have a community that they're building, a consciousness community around them, that real, meaningful, lasting change is more likely to stick. Yeah. And again, you can fly and have the psychedelic experience, but maybe then you join a yoga or a faith-based tradition community for ongoing needs afterwards.
Right. Yeah, it's really important to understand that it's not just about the ceremony. It's about what happens afterwards and what kind of support, what kind of community, what kind of connection. And you said the magic word. You said consciousness. And I've heard a lot of people say that they feel that psychedelics are key to raising the consciousness of the planet to help us to deal with what's all around us, what's happening with the environment, what's happening with the political upheaval in different places. How do you feel psychedelics has changed your consciousness?
Yeah, I love that, Sam, because I believe it all starts incredibly local, meaning it starts with us. It starts with me, that this is my practice. This is my work well beyond before I share it with anybody. I need to do this for my own learning, healing, and growing, period. Then that ripple extends and it becomes me and my family. And then that ripple extends a little bit more and it's me and whoever I'm talking to in the community. And the hope is that as I'm sharing my practice and as we are doing individual healing in community, that those ripples just keep moving out. But I believe all change for the world starts with me individually, you individually, and we can go from there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Matt, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. I could talk with you around this for hours. Unfortunately, time is limited. If people want to learn more about your work, get your books, where can they find you online? Where can they learn more?
Yeah, so mattzeman.com is my website. And they can drop me a note there. There's lots of videos. There's a free guide to microdosing. So all at mattzeman.com. Amazon has all my books. Audible has the Psychedelics for Everyone book. And if they want to order, if they run either retreats or ceremonies or medical clinics and they want bulk books, they can do that on my website. We have pricing for people who are buying in bulk.
Wonderful.
People buy and that's 100 at a time.
MattZeman.
That is it. MattZeman.com. And then Instagram and LinkedIn is where I'm active socially. And those are also good places to reach out to me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come on my show today. It's been a pleasure to have you.
It's been wonderful, Sam. Thanks so much for having me.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners who tune in every week. Without you, there is no show. And of course, if you did miss any part of today's show, please remember you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc, on all the major podcasting platforms, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and all over social media, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Twitch. Thank you all for tuning in. We will talk to you all next week.
are listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
If you don't have your health, what do you really have? It's time to feel good in your body and shift from struggle to ease. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul, where we explore the sacred wisdom of your body while you sit back, relax, and go on a journey of self-discovery. Join me every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to awaken your heart, transform your well-being, and unlock a deeper understanding of yourself.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Listen, everyone makes messes. It's just a part of life. And the bigger you live, the bigger the mess, if you know what I mean. That's why you need Fabuloso. With twice the active cleaning ingredients, it just completely takes the drama out of any mess. It smells great while you clean. The only way to describe it is the scent of passion. And once you're done cleaning, it lasts so long. You know, if you make a mess, you can get your home dramatically clean with Fabuloso. No worries. No worries.